ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى خاتمهم وسيدهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين وعلى ابنة رسول الله فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن إقام الصلاة عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. صدق الله العلي العظيم. This is the eve and the night of the departure and the martyrdom of the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Tomorrow is the 13th of the month of Jumad al-Ula, which coincides with the day of her martyrdom. And I'd like to take this opportunity and speak about why this lady is still relevant and is still important for our men and women. Why this lady, despite being physically absent for 1400 years, is still considered an inspirational leader in the Islamic community and the human community. Why do we love her? And what do we learn from her? These questions need to be addressed. And when we speak about Fatima al-Zahra, also I'd like to speak about my second part, the second part of my speech about empowering Muslim women. How do we empower them? How do we make them of value, of contribution to their community? How do we make men respect women and not just look at them as being servants who provide some physical, material welfare to the families and the communities? They are more than that. How do we tell women, men, that your wife, your mother, your sister, your daughter is not just to serve the community. She also is to guide and to help and inspire and integrate the role of men in the society. How do we teach them that? And why, despite being Muslims for 1400 years, still Muslims lack when it comes to the role of women and their contribution and their value? Still they lack behind other nations. Why Muslim women today, in not all Muslim countries, but in many of them, are stripped of their natural Islamic moral rights? They play a secondary role in their societies. Why is that? Is the problem with Islam itself? Is the problem with this book, the book of the Muslims, the Holy Quran? Is the problem with the Messenger of Islam? Is the problem with the family of the Messenger of Islam? Or the problem is with the Muslims themselves? with the Muslim Ummah and the Muslim community. In order for us to make our women more potent and more able and more competent to contribute to be an effective part and an effective partner in the community, in the society, in the country, we have to equip them with certain tools. And I will take Lady Fatima al-Zahra as a case study, as an example of how she can be an inspiration for our sisters and daughters and wives. Number one, if I were to speak about Fatima al-Zahra, there are many qualities in her. There are endless qualities. But I have to begin somewhere. And therefore I would begin with the most powerful character of Fatima alayhi salam, with the most visible, tangible quality of this lady. And that one, Fatima al-Aliba, the scholar, the teacher, the well-versed in knowledge, the educator, Fatima al-Alima, Fatima the knowledgeable. Fatima is the student of knowledge, seeker of knowledge. Fatima is a lady that is full of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And if we keep our women away from ilm, they would never be able to contribute. Or their contribution is going to be negative rather than positive. This is what is happening in most Muslim countries. For many decades, preachers, sheikhs, imams, they advised women not to go to school, not to study, not to leave their homes. And they had to stay indoors with no education, with no access to the outer world, with no understanding of what is happening outside her kitchen. She was confined to her kitchen. They said to her, if you want to go to paradise, in this corner. Work, stay, produce, only in this corner. You can't work outside. This was the problem. In many Muslim countries, even today, with all this modernity and development, when you go to a typical masjid in a Muslim country, you don't find a place for women to worship. Mosques are dominated only by men, for men only. For men only, there is no space for women there. And if you ask them why, they cite certain hadiths that we really debate the authenticity of these hadiths. That it's better for the women to pray indoors, in her house. Many of our leaders and ulama, they reject these hadiths. They say the example of that is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where she came to the mosque, the daughter of the Prophet, her room, her bedroom, when she opened the door of her bedroom, she would come inside the mosque. Do you know what I'm saying? When she opens the door of her bedroom, she ends up in the middle of the mosque. So mosque is haram for women? If it is haram, why Fatima did this? The Prophet would tell her, listen, your bedroom has to be on the other side, far away from the mosque. We don't want you here. You are unwanted. When she opens her private room, she ends up in the middle of the mosque. So do you think Islam says mosque is forbidden for women? It's not their place? It's not that. This is not true. This is not true. Fatima alayhi salam not only prayed as a follower, she stood on the podium, the pulpit, the most sacred podium of her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To speak to the congregation, to address the congregation, to give a lecture, speech. If that was haram and forbidden, Why should the dearest person to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do that? She would not do something wrong. Her father would tell her, don't do that. Don't go in public. Don't speak in public. Don't come to my mosque. Stay indoors. So this is a proof that they have a share, an important share. Women have an important share in the Islamic centers, in the mosques, in the society. In life, in every sphere of life. In every sphere of life. Arezou mentioned that she asks herself sometimes, why a female cannot be a prophet? The reason she did not become a prophet, not because there is some deficiency in her character or her mind or her reason or her aql or her intellectual or spiritual or religious capability. No, it's not about that. She did not become a prophet, but she created the prophets. Where was Isa alayhi salam created? Who made him Isa? A female called Maryam alayhi salam. Who created Musa alayhi salam? Who produced a universal messenger with such a caliber like Musa? His mother. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضَعِهِ. She was instrumental in creating, shaping, raising, teaching, training Musa alayhi salam. Who created the Prophet Muhammad? Number one, his mother Amina. Second, Khadija alayhi salam, his partner, his loyal partner. When Khadija passed away, Allah brought him someone else, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, to be with him. And there were other women in his house to help him, to assist him. Women did not become a prophet for a technical reason, my friends. Not a spiritual reason, neither intellectual nor social. Technical reason. Because sometimes they go through certain periods or times that she cannot lead. And this is not only in Islam. This is in all religions. Even Judaism believes in that, subscribes to this belief. During certain few days, during the month, she cannot lead the prayers, for instance, something like that. But nothing wrong, does not compromise her intellectuality, religiosity, and leadership. Therefore, today, in most Muslim countries, in all Muslim countries, except one country, leave that country alone. You know what I'm talking about, what country? Leave it alone. Put that country alone. In most other countries, she can run to be prime minister, she can run to be president of the country. Nobody says no. Nobody says she cannot be a president, she cannot be a minister, she cannot be an MP, member of parliament, or a prime minister. Or she cannot be a judge. Even in many Muslim countries today, we have female judges who sit on the bench. We do have them. And in America, here in this country, we have the very first female Shia Muslim judge in the state of Michigan. American Shia Muslim judge in this country. She's female. And she goes to the court with her hijab. Full hijab. Huh? Full hijab. Not different types of hijab. Huh? You know what I mean. Full hijab. And she came here and she addressed this audience one day. And she said, I had a long debate with myself, conflict, should I go with hijab or not? For many, many, many months, ultimately I said, I should listen to this boss, to this leader, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should submit to him. And Allah enabled me with power, strength, confidence, and I'm happy about my life. And even those who work with me in the court, they respect me more nowadays because they know that I have values. I have values and principles. So, number one, women, you need to read and study and learn. Al-ilm ra'sul khayri kulluh والشر رأس والجهل رأس الشر كله. أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب says, علم, knowledge, learning is the fountainhead of every wholesomeness and every goodness. Today, whatever goodness crosses your mind, when you analyze it, dissect it, you find a huge portion of it is ilm, knowledge. Knowledge and ilm. Every shar, evil, crosses your mind, when you dissect it and analyze it, you find there is jahl and ignorance that occupies a major portion of it. Many people today, they do foolish things because of ignorance, because of jahl. We have to equip them with ilm. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam had a book, pen and a book. And she would sit, when her father comes to her house, she will take that opportunity. She would sit next to him and tells him, Ya Rasulallah, teach me, please give me. And the Prophet is the source of knowledge, the source of ilm. He was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she would put everything her father says on paper, on paper. She gathered a book during her life, her companionship with her father. And that book were to be known as Mus'haf Fatima. Mus'haf, not the Quran. Mus'haf, anything that is put between two covers. These are two covers. So what is in the middle is Mus'haf because of the two covers. It's not a replacement for the Quran, alternative to the Quran. It's not a private, secret Quran that we have, as some people say. Mus'haf of Fatima means simply the book of Fatima, where she puts the ahadith, the riwayat, the stories, the prophecies of what is happening in the future. Jibreel will tell the Prophet will convey it to his daughter, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. And then not only she was a student, she was teacher too. Despite being very busy at home, having four children, full-time job, husband who is always, a husband who was the Minister of Defense of Islam, Wazir al-Difa, Minister of Defense. If Ali is absent, Islam could not exist. Islam was under constant threat. Constant threat. And the Minister of Defense, who dedicated his life from day one, he said, I'm available. I put my life online. At risk. It's worth it. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the first day, still the Muslims are not yet in Medina. They are still in Mecca. The Prophet leaves Mecca under the cover of the night to protect himself against the plot of Quraysh when they plan to kill him, assassinate him. He lives under the cover of the night. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I would sleep in your bed. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Look at chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. Yashri, he gives himself, he donates. Yashri, he says, I will donate my soul. Let them kill me as long as the Prophet is safe. He puts his life online. Such a busy man, he comes home, but he has his wife ready for him. She would embrace him with love, with understanding, with inner and outer beauty, with a smile. Imam Ali alayhi salam himself, he says about Fatima al-Zahra, he says, by Allah, never she made me angry one day. And never I made her angry one day. Never she disobeyed me one day. Never she irritated me one day. I saw nothing but love and compassion and reception and a smile from Fatima alayhi salam. Despite these responsibilities, she was a teacher, contributor to her community. She would teach. And the hadith says, the best of you is the one who learns first, learn. And second what? Huh? No, before teaching, there is something in the middle. Learning and teaching, but there is something in the middle. Exactly. Applies what he learns on himself and his family. Practices what he learns. And then he conveys that to others. And then he teaches. If he does this, He will receive a title, an accolade. دُعِيَ فِي السَّمَاءِ عَظِيمًا. They would call him in heaven, great person. Great person. مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ وَعَمِلَ وَعَلَّمَ لِلَّهِ. This is what the hadith says. مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ, whoever receives knowledge, learns, and practices his knowledge, and then he teaches for the sake of God, لِلَّهِ. دُعِيَ فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاءِ عَظِيمًا. And Fatima al-Zahra did this, exactly this. She learned, she practiced, and she taught that knowledge to others. Today, sisters, I have said this many times here, but I would not get tired of saying it again and again and again. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Keep reminding them, keep reminding them, they would learn one day. You need to dedicate some of your time a day, not a week, not a month, a day for learning. You need to learn. There is no excuse today. The more we learn, we men and women, the more we learn, the less we gossip, believe me. We would have no time to gossip. If we learn, if we get engaged in ilm and knowledge, I would not have time to sit and gossip about this person and that person and this family and this community and this marriage and that divorce and this. I would not have time. We gossip because we don't have some viable, some important material. People gossip because they are empty. If they are not empty, they would not gossip. Let's cut back on that. By learning, by spending our time. Today, many of the Muslims, they lack the basic, the 101 on Islam. 101, the basic, very basic. They lack it. They lack. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. The source of knowledge is here. The source of knowledge, ilm, is here. Treasure troves of knowledge is here. But we don't learn it. We don't learn it. We have time for everything except the Qur'an. Accept Islam. We don't dedicate. Because we take religion for granted. We think that we got the visa for paradise. Why should I waste my time here or there? While if I analyze myself, I would find myself lacking lots of things, necessary things in this life. One of the scholars one day said, if Salatin, the rulers, they know how we enjoy ilm, they know, they realize how much is delicious, ilm is delicious for us, they would have killed us out of jealousy. But they don't know. They don't know. Because Sultan is busy ruling, controlling. He's not busy learning. This is why they are foolish. They do mistakes one after the other. If they had learned, if they learn a Sultan who's learned, then he would not abuse his nation. Most of the Salatin, especially the Arab ones, alhamdulillah, they come from a pure, ignorant background. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And their book says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. اقرأ, read, understand, study. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. The second area where we should learn from Fatima al-Zahra, and our women, they should learn from it, to be empowered, to be stronger. We need you. We need our mothers and our wives and our sisters and our daughters. I would not exaggerate to say we need them above men, but we need them at least equal. We need them equal in status, in social status. We need them to rival men. We need women when they sit at home with men. They discuss something of a substance, something that has ilm in it, something that they can guarantee the future of their children. Our discussions have to be, really we have to raise the level of our discussions at home, rather than speaking about empty subjects that is not going to give us any goodness, to do us any goodness. At least let's discuss a scientific mas'ala, mas'ala ilmiya at home. And there are millions of them, millions of them. The second area for women to learn to be inspired by this lady, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, is the spiritual part. The first one I spoke about, the intellectual part, ilm. The second area is the spiritual part. And Fatima al-Zahra, every aspect of her spiritual life is a lesson for us. Every aspect. But again, the one that is really outstanding, the one that is really fascinating in her character at home and outside the house, is her qana'ah. Qana'ah, content and satisfaction and happiness, inner happiness. Today many people live, they have a material life, but if you ask them, are you happy? They tell you, we are not happy. Maybe they don't admit. It's hard for people to admit they are unhappy. It's hard. But if they are honest with their own selves, they would tell themselves, we are unhappy. We are unhappy. I'm not happy enough. Or at least he would say, I'm not happy enough. I need to increase my level of happiness. And what is happiness today, my friends? What do they mean by happiness? Huh? More what? More knowledge? More what?
More materials.
Because we consider materialism, the house, the car, the food, the dress, the jewelry, the money, the bank account, the vacation house, the boat, the private jet, this and that, as being the source of happiness. This is what they mean. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was the daughter of the king of the kings. Nobody was above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you go into her house, if there is a camera that takes us 1400 years back, they open the gate of Fatima, you would see very simple house. Very simple house. Based on simplicity, modesty. A house that was furnished by the best carpet at that time. You know what was the best Persian carpet of that time in the house of Fatima? Is the sand or the dirt. The bedroom of Ali and Fatima, rather than having these beautiful marbles nowadays, they had the best dirt. Hasir. That was their carpet. Very simple. But that house was full of happiness and satisfaction. And that house, history tells us, the getaway of the Prophet. Whenever the Prophet gets bored, there is no Disneyland, there is no Hollywood there. He goes to the house of Ali and Fatima to be with them, to be around the children there. The Prophet would use his prime time, his time of recreation, spiritual, mental recreation in the house of Ali and Fatima. The best place. Not because Fatima would provide him with the best couch there or the best bed, not even the best food. One day he came, he was hungry, and he came to eat in the house of his daughter. She had no food to give her father. She had no food. He knocked at the door and he came and he said, Fatima, do you have some food? I'm really hungry today. She was so embarrassed. Again, he asked her the second time. Again, he asked her the third time. She did not tell him. She could not tell him. On the third time, she had to answer her father. She said, by your Lord and my Lord, for 3 days, me, my husband, and my kids, we have eaten nothing at all. Nothing. For 3 days. And she never complained. Fatima never complained. The Prophet knew that by accident, not because she complained. This is content. This is called content. This is content. When you go through a state of emergency, you are starving, you don't have the most basic thing, yet we say, I'm happy for the sake of God. I still have faith in God that He will feed me. He will take care of me. We don't lose faith. We don't lose trust. We don't lose connection with God. How many of us, the Shia of Fatima, are ready to do this? How many of us? How many of our women and mothers and daughters are ready to do this, to go through this? 2 hours of starvation without complaining. We can't. We don't do that. We should learn from Fatima. We should learn some. I'm not saying let's go 3 days with no food. But if sometimes we don't have all types of food on the table, we have to be still thankful to God. We still have to be thankful to God. We should not complain about food. And we should teach our children, our spoiled children in America, in the West, children who are very spoiled, that whatever they put in front of you, eat and be thankful. And say, Alhamdulillah, praise to God that still He has given me some food while there are millions of children, they go starving every day. There are millions of children who die of malnutrition every day. We have to teach these principles and values to our children. If we are to survive this life, tumultuous life, we have to teach these principles. This is the meaning of faith. Faith is not just the prayers and fasting and, you know, faith, these values makes the person faithful, distinguishes him or her from others who have no faith. Whether he complains or not. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We have the choice either to be shakir, grateful, thankful, appreciate what God has given us, or rejecting, complaining, nagging. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. You know why Fatima al-Zahra was patient and was satisfied and was content? She had qana'ah for one reason. Can you tell me the reason why she did that? Because she lived for this life or another life? Huh? Because she lived for the hereafter. Fatima al-Zahra always, always, every morning, every evening, she remembers that I am not here forever. I am here as a guest. I am here, I checked in, I have to check out. So I am for the akhirah. I'm not for this dunya. Therefore it is not worth it to complain and to fight with my husband, with my children, with my neighbors, with my friends over material accomplishments. If my husband did not give me, I would accept that. It is his problem, not my problem, if he does not provide. And she did not file for divorce. And she loved Imam Ali more and more and more. And she would give comfort to him and to her children. She would never complain to him on material things. Never ever. One day, she and Ali both, she said to Imam Ali, listen, I know the Prophet is my father and he loves me so much. He would not say no to me. But I also know that the Prophet loves you also, you too so much. So come with me, let's go to my father. Let's tell him about something. She took her husband to her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she asked Imam Ali to speak. She was silent, she was too shy. Imam Ali turned to the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulullah, your honorable Fatima is really struggling at home. I know, I'm her husband. We have 4 kids. I'm not making enough money. You know my situation. I'm your first cousin. I'm your student. You are my mentor. You raised me. We are next doors. You come to our house, you see everything right before your eyes. I would work in Medina in a farm. The son-in-law of the leader, he works as a farmer. I work as a farmer in a farm, and they give me some dates in return, not to money, cash money, dates. So we survive on dates, tamr. And Fatima is doing a lot. Fatima is young, but she's really very exhausted. So we ask you one thing. Can we have a servant at home to serve Fatima alayhi salam? She's not asking too much. At that time, servants were something very normal. In a house, in a typical house, you will find two or three servants serving, cooking, cleaning, preparing. So Ali is not asking for too much. But listen here, listen to the lesson. The Prophet ﷺ said, I can send you a servant to serve you. But because you are special to me, I'm not going to do that. Had you not been special to me, I would give you a servant. But I would not send that because you are so special to me. So I will teach you something that is more rewarding than sending you a servant. Listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, of course, bala ya Rasulullah. Whatever you decide for us. You are our teacher. You are our caretaker. We listen to you. We trust you fully. He said, إِذَا أَخَذْتُمَا مَكَانَكُمَا لَيْلًا. When you go to bed, before you sleep, كَبِّرَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى 34 مَرَّةً. Say Allahu Akbar 34 times. وَسَبِّحَاهُ. Say سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ 33 times. Alhamdulillah, praise him 33 times. And say Subhanallah 33 times. That's it. Listen, they asked for a servant. The Prophet says, when you go to bed, pray these prayers. What is the relationship of a servant to prayers? They asked for something material. Bring me someone to help me at home. And the Prophet says, I will give you something better than a servant. Once you do it, you don't need a servant. He teaches them tasbih. What's the relationship between this and that? Can you tell me? Exactly. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to tell them that if you are connected to Allah all the time, because this is an example. Tasbih is the example of what? Remembrance, dhikrullah. So if you are always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always, always, you would not feel tired. You would not feel unhappy. You would not feel exhausted. You will be connected to Him. If you are in love with Him, if you are in love with Him, you can try this yourself. When you are sitting with someone that you love so much, so much, wouldn't you try to serve that person? To serve him in any way possible, in any way possible. And you don't get tired because you love that person. But if you live with someone that you hate, even if he asks you for a cup of water, oh, come on, I can't, I'm so tired. Not because you are so tired. You are tired of him, of that person. You don't like that person. You don't like that person, not because you are tired physically. So the Prophet said, if you are connected with Allah, you are not going to need a servant in your house. Connection with Allah. Most of our pains today, because we are not connected, we are connected to the dunya. We are connected to this dunya. We are attached to this dunya. When we are attached to the material things in this dunya, we are going to feel tired and exhausted and bored and suicidal. We are not going to have faith. We lose faith. Fatima al-Zahra is the role model for our men and women. And imagine this lady that the Prophet left for us, and he said, مَثَلُ أَحْلِ بَيْتِي فِيكُمْ كَمَثَلِ سَفِينَةِ نُوحٍ. Have you seen the movie, Noah? Is it in the movie theaters or not yet? I don't know anything about it. I see the ads, you know. The Prophet says, the resemblance of my family among you, the Muslim nation, is like Noah's ark, Safina. Whoever embarked on that ark, he survived. If you decline to embark on that, you would drown and you would perish. He left for us. After his departure, he left for us Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fatima al-Zahra, al-Hasan, al-Husayn, and the nine imams until al-Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. So it's up to us to follow their example, to follow their lead or not. Women here, you have to empower yourself. You have no excuse today to be second-class citizens. Empower yourself through ilm, silahul ilm. The best equipment is ilm. After ilm is taqwa and piety and righteousness, connection with Allah. Women, you play a major role. Today, what we fear of is not the climate change and the global warming and a chemical or nuclear attack here or there. We fear of something real, real threat. What is it? The collapse of the institution of family. It is collapsing. Family values are gone. There is no trust between the husband and the wife. The marriages that we see that takes place today is based on what? Values or materials? Materials. This is what I, at least what I in my capacity as an imam here, I hear in the community. Husband and wife cheating on each other. When it comes to money, huh? They cheat on each other. He marries her, he does not tell her about his money, his wealth. She marries him and she does not tell him about what she has. They keep it secret. They lie on each other for the sake of a few days in this dunya. They don't trust each other. Imagine, marriage without a trust. Do you call it marriage? I don't call it marriage. Because for me, marriage is a blind trust. Blind trust. 100%. If you make it 99, I would not accept it. This is marriage. We don't have that type of marriage nowadays. They used to exist, many, our forefathers, at the time of Adam, alayhi salam. But nowadays, we hear other stories, unfortunately. Mothers, you are the asas, the foundation of the families. If you have tarbiyah, religious, spiritual nourishment and refinement, you can build those men here. You teach the children either to be generous, kind, or greedy. It comes from you. It comes from you. From the food that you give. Physical food and spiritual food. We follow after you. So it is left for you to decide. One thing before I leave the podium. Fatima al-Zahra, alayhi salam, she came to the grave of her father. Most historians believe that she lived only 75 days after Rasulullah. Only 75 days. A young lady, age 18. She lives only 75 days after the departure of her father Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened? Read the history of Islam, what happened. Read and judge for yourself. What happened to the Muslim Ummah, great Muslim Ummah, who loved their Prophet so much that despite the Prophet saying, take care of my family, please, I need no monetary compensation, I need no land from you, I need no jewelry, no gold, nothing. Just take care of my family after me. Respect my family after me. What happened that they did exactly the opposite thing? Exactly the opposite. 180 degrees departure from his will, from his teachings. What happened? In the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ. You turn back on your heels from his teachings, from his will, wasiyah. انقلبتم على أعقابكم فمن وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. You would never hurt God. You only hurt yourself. Read what happened after the death of the Prophet. That's in the history. So she would come within these 75 days, difficult days. The most difficult days for Fatima, very difficult. An ailing young lady. There was nothing with her. She was perfectly okay when her father died. What happened that this lady could not even leave her bed anymore? She would ask her children to bring her some water to drink. She could not stand, she could not move. So with the help of Hassan and Hussein, young boys at the age of 8 and 7, they would hold the hand of their mother, Fatima. She leaves her room. She comes to the grave of the Prophet. She says, "Mada ala man shamma turbata Ahmad." There is no blame on the one who smells the fragrance of the grave of the Prophet. Yes. The grave of the Prophet has fascinating fragrance, aroma. ماذا على من شم تربة أحمد ألا يشم مدى الزمان غواليا. If he smells the aroma of the grave of the Prophet, he would not give a preference to any type of fragrance or atr or perfume, because this is the best, the fragrance of the grave of my father. And then she speaks to her father very intimately. She says, أَبَتَا صُبَّتْ عَلَيَّ مَصَائِبٌ لَوْ أَنَّهَا صُبَّتْ عَلَى الْأَيَّامِ صَرْنَ لَيَالِيَا. You know what happened to me, my father? You know what happened after your departure? They attacked my house, my sanctity. They abused me. They broken my rib. If these tragedies befall the days, it will turn them into night, dark nights. ماذا على من شم تربة أحمد أن لا يشم مدى الزمان غواليا صبت علي مصائب لو أنها صبت على الأيام صرنا لياليا. صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء, صلى الله عليك أيتها المظلومة المقهورة يا ابنة رسول الله. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. إن شاء الله, Sister Sacchini, she promised us that she will make it another night. And, you know, things happened. She tried to come. I called her this morning. She said, I'm leaving my house in Palm Spring at 2:30 to beat the traffic and be here. But there was a sandstorm. She could not make it. She will come, inshallah, another time. And tomorrow, Salatul Jum'ah will be at 1 p.m. inshallah. Yeah, 5 minutes of musiba, zikr musibat, wa bi'asilei baradala azizimun, jinawaye mushtaba.